Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Ah! I was actually clearing my throat. Hey, look at Chris Morales there. Nice work, Captain EO suit. I'm all for it. Let's put it on and go. Let's
Two go. Words. Why not?
Why not?
All I got to do is put on a goofy suit and I get my life back. Bring it on.
There you go. It is Wednesday afternoon. It is Wednesday, just for the record. And we intend to deliver for you an enthusiastic and entertaining and optimistic, a positive show today with many highlights and many laughs. So, John, make us laugh.
There's a bunch of stuff today that'll be interesting to talk about. One being, have you been following the Korean baseball thing?
I saw the highlights this morning. I saw Aaron Altair home run off of a pitcher whose name I don't know. I saw it on the get-up this morning.
I have decided that I think that baseball is going to lead us out of this.
Yes.
Baseball is the way.
Yes.
It's naturally socially distant. Everybody is, you're not standing next to anybody for any long period of time. Unlike basketball and like football, it is, you're not
right on top of each other.
Yeah.
Baseball, you're naturally distanced. Exactly.
I'm with Scott Boras. Scott was on the get up this morning and he said, baseball has led us out of World War II. Baseball led us out of 9/11 and baseball will lead us out of this pandemic. All for one, one for all. Baseball, Steve.
Yes.
Baseball will lead us out of this darkness.
Well, there was a rumor today from Trevor Plouffe, who recently played in the big leagues. I think played as recently as last year.
Is he related to White House political consultant David Plouffe?
I don't believe he is.
I think it's Trevor Plouffe.
Oh, is it Plouffe? So according to Trevor Plouffe, he said that what he is hearing is that baseball will open spring training on June the 10th, and the season opening day would be July the 1st with teams all playing at their home ballparks.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what we need. A little optimism, a little hope. You know what that is, Steve? It's hope.
Hope.
It's hope.
It's about the hope.
Whether his name is Trevor Plouffe or Trevor Plouffe, however it is pronounced, what he is providing America today is hope. Nobody else is providing hope other than Trevor Plouffe or Plouffe. I say we run with it.
Somebody, last night, of course, it was a major phenomenon when Alan Sliwa got his face tattoos, and someone has just sent out pictures of us with
face
tattoos.
Oh, my God, you have the Rams D head logo on your cheek.
And you've got Vanderpump Rules across your forehead.
Now, see, of course, I have more real estate, more space to put on a face tattoo.
Yes, you do.
But I do think you should embrace the new Ram Eric Dickerson D-head logo. I think
already done.
That could be a really good thing.
Embraced. I own the T-shirt. I own the hat. I'm all in.
Excellent idea.
So I had a question today, and I have a feeling I know where you're going to fall on this, but I think it's an interesting question for the people, John, for the people. Let's just say, you said you think baseball is going to lead us out of this, and I
baseball.
Agree. Seems like baseball is going to get there first, which is fantastic. But in a world where you can only have one sport for the rest of the 2020.
Oh, please.
What would you choose?
Give me the Lakers. 6 days a week and twice on Sunday. The Lakers are good, man. They're going to win the title. There is no team better positioned in Los Angeles to win a title right now than the Lakers.
But it is a shorter season. You're just getting, 3 weeks of playoffs or whatever.
Yeah, but then we start next season.
Yeah, see, I would take... You know, I'm so torn. Obviously, there's no wrong answer. There's no right answer here. I would be really pissed off if I didn't get to use my new personal seat licenses at the new SoFi Stadium.
Okay, but that's a personal issue. Think of the city as a whole.
Yeah. I'm talking about
Mace,
I'm not talking about for the city. I'm talking about for me. This is a personal question.
Do I need to point out that we have LeBron and Anthony Davis, both of them? two of the top five players in the NBA on
it's
the
fantastic.
Same team.
It's fantastic.
That first place. And on the weekend before the pandemic, they beat the Bucks and the Clippers on the same weekend. Come on, man. You can't turn that away.
I would probably lean towards, because the number of games are so many, Major League Baseball. I get the most content with Major League Baseball. I get Cody Bellinger. I get Mookie Betts. I get 100 or 120 game season. I get a World Series on Thanksgiving Day.
I can win this argument in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Sure.
This is what I'm like a pro wrestler. Lindsay loves wrestling. I'm announcing I'm going to drop you before I even drop you.
Okay.
Mace, we have the Lakers and the Rams on ESPN LA. If you give the Dodgers up, they're on the other station. Why do we want to help the other station? We got the pick the Lakers or the Rams. Pick one of our teams.
First of all, all that stuff. I'm trying to separate myself from all that stuff, right? What station we're on, all that kind of stuff. Terms of number of games a year that I watch, and I watch, most of the Laker games.
Almost all of
the Dodger games.
If we were strapped to a lie detector, why are we in this? We're in it for the ratings.
We are.
Have a little bit of fun, John.
We're in it for the ratings. The Lakers win the title. Everybody rides along with us.
But see, that's
plus
not,
Michael that, and I get. How about if I make it the sideline reporter for the finals? Would you come over to the Lakers then?
The sideline. Well, by the way, I'm not voting against the Lakers. This is a whimsical question I want to throw out to the people, because I think there are baseball.
It is an interesting question to throw out.
By the way, think about this one. The NFL, with the NFL, you not only get the Rams. I mean, that's the part of it that
it's true. Like there is no NFL. Like one thing that I've learned, I found myself, and this has happened at least, Mace. 8 times since the pandemic, okay, at least. I caught myself, last night it was game 4 of the 2004 American League Championship Series.
Yep.
I have caught myself watching an old sporting event in which I already know how it ends and it doesn't matter. I am that starved for sports. The one thing you can say about the NFL is there is no game in the NFL that you and I would not watch.
Correct.
If it was like two teams, like if it was the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Washington Redskins, we're watching it.
Yep.
We don't care. It's football. The other sports, if it's, like the Kansas City Royals against the Florida Marlins, we may walk away from that.
Sure.
But we're not walking away from any NFL game.
Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, our fantasy football leagues.
Oh, God, let's face it.
People say
you could oversaturate football. Sure, you could. But now we're so sports starved that they put it on every night of the week. We'd watch 7 nights straight.
Yeah. Lindsay, what about you? I think I know for you, but what do you?
Well, I was thinking baseball, but if we can only have one. I'm thinking, based on what John just said a second ago, fantasy football. I don't know. I mean, I am the reigning two-time fantasy football champ and won a good amount of money. So I would be.
Yeah, me too.
You have never won anything.
Really close.
Oh, by the way, Mason, we're in trouble.
Why?
I got a wrist slap email today from the commissioner of the Hollywood Football Fantasy Football League.
Oh, really? What was the wrist slap about?
They're changing the rules to combat your tanking.
Do you think
Mason will be mad if we change the rules to keep him from tanking next year? And I said, wait a minute. 2 years ago, Mason beat me in the last weekend of the year.
Correct.
And knocked money out of my pocket. It was just last year that you tanked. It was, you may have tanked a little 2 years ago. But I tanked a lot this year. People in the league noticed that you tanked a lot this year.
Did they?
And Lenny, our commissioner, said, hey, they want to make rules against Mason. Do you think he'll be offended? I said, are you kidding? We're in this league for the bit. We're not going to be offended
by
anything.
So they are cracking, because you know how I feel about tanking. Sometimes I feel like it's necessary.
Not only do you feel it's necessary, I think you were st- standing up for your longtime position by the way you played fantasy this year.
I mean, when you're 4-8 and you've got no chance to get to the money, what's the point in winning another game? I want
which
a better
is, by
pick
the
for
way,
next year.
Which has been your position for years.
Yep.
So no one can accuse you of, like, pulling a fast one. You've argued for this since I've known you.
Why was I not consulted on this rule change? Why did Lenny not come directly to me? Were they afraid?
They're worried you're going to get mad. But I think that I defended us well. I will send you the email chain, and you can react to it.
Yes, send that to me. But I thought I'd throw that out there. We haven't talked to you people on the phones. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. You only get one sport for the rest of the year. Only one sport. You can get the NBA with the Lakers. And again, think about the entire league. You get the NBA, all of it, playoffs, and the start of next season. You get college football, all of it. I think that's going to run a distant fourth. You get Major League Baseball, all of it. As the Scott Boras plan says, all the way to Thanksgiving Day, and the Dodgers, heavy favorites to go to the World Series, and the NFL every Thursday, every Sunday, Sunday ticket, college, fantasy football, plus the Rams and the new SoFi Stadium, the Raiders and the new Vegas Stadium, all that stuff. 877-710-ESPN. I did put this poll online, John, and it's
not win. It's a Laker town.
We're at 550 votes.
Okay.
Where do you think we are?
Lakers won.
What percentage do you think?
Close, like 38%. Major League Baseball. Did you editorialize in the way you presented the poll?
If you could only have one sport for the rest of the rest of 2020, what would you choose? That's it.
That's all you wrote?
MLB, NFL, NBA, college football.
Ooh, NFL is immensely popular. So I got to think that maybe it would swing towards NFL. I still think it's a Laker town. I'm going with the Lakers, like 40%. Then I think NFL and NBA are the other 30.
No,
or maybe less.
You've got NBA at 40%.
I do, and then, is there a fourth choice or just those three?
College football.
College football is under 10%.
Yes.
That's what I think. I think NBA, because of the Lakers, is in the 40th percentile, and I think the NFL and MLB split up the rest, but so I don't duck your question. I will say NFL a little higher than MLB, but not much.
At this moment, with just 550 votes, so it's early, it is Major League Baseball 23%, the NFL 22%, and the NBA 49%.
Even so higher than I thought.
It's almost exactly what you said it was going to be. You went a little bit lower, but the NBA is at 49%.
Laker town, man.
Second. Oh, no question.
And the biggest name in town is LeBron. People love watching LeBron, and now we got Anthony Davis. Man, you can't turn that off. Come on.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. Yeah, 710-ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? It is Wednesday, and coming up for you at the bottom of the hour, Jess Mendoza, who's going to be doing some the color analyst job on some of the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization games. I think she's doing tomorrow and Saturday. We'll get her thoughts on restarting the MLB season, starting the MLB season, and where that process is, and also a little bit about the KBO.
And right now we asked a question. All right, you get one sport. One. And it comes back tomorrow.
And nothing else does.
Nothing else does. Who do you take? I'm all in on the Lakers. They have LeBron. They have Anthony Davis. This is a Laker town. Mace, did you finally decide on Rams or Dodgers, on MLB or NFL?
I decided on Dodgers. I decided
on Dodgers. And Lindsay, you're NFL, right? If you can only have one.
Yeah, I don't know. I still need to think about it. This is a tough decision. I think I'm 50-50.
All right, here's Mike in Hollywood. Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. What do you think?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's
How
up, man?
Doing?
Good.
Good, good, good. Good poll question and topic as usual from you two geniuses. I got to say, I love all sports, but I got to say Lakers, man. It's just been such a joy. So, you know, Laker Nation – you know, recognize the last 6 years, what a bummer it was to watch the Lakers, the most iconic franchise in the league, and how bad they were, and to now have the best team in the league, LeBron playing at all-time level, AD playing lights out, everything coming together. Even I'm a diehard fan. I didn't think they would be this good. And
yeah.
to play like they are, as good as they are, I think it's good. And even though I hate the Clippers, I think it's a fun watch, too, over there. Kawhi, when he plays, PG. I love Pat Beverly, even though he's annoying to a lot of people. So even as much as I despise the Clippers, I think L.A. being the center of the basketball universe, I think this makes it so fun to watch on a nightly basis. And I would love to see these teams slug it out in the Western Conference Finals to get to the finals and ultimately crown another champ here to L.A. Because I remember being at that Game 7 when the Lakers beat the Celtics. And that
yeah.
year drought, it's a great feeling to have that back in. It would be such a shame if they don't come back because, especially for LeBron, who's playing at an all-time high level, nobody's playing like him at this age. So definitely NBA and great show. Hopefully all things going. It looks like maybe we're going to get the NBA back soon. I'm hoping and praying we do. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
I think we all are. Yeah. So, yeah, it's hard to make a case against the NBA coming
well,
back.
Well, part of
go
this...
go straight into the playoffs.
And part of this, Mace, is... And I used to, like, try and beat my news directors over the head with this, and the good ones always understood it. Nothing galvanizes a city in a positive way more than a championship.
Right.
Nothing. Nothing. You can have a great play in town. You can have a big movie opening. You can have a concert come to town. Nothing. If a team in Los Angeles wins a title, and you've been there for some of the Laker parades, it's almost hard to describe how it sweeps up the city in just
right.
this way. And so, if you factor that into your question, if you can only have one back, you got to ask, what team has the best chance to win it all this year?
I mean, the Dodgers have a fantastic chance of winning it all
they
this
do,
year.
They do, but
the
Lakers
favorites are to go to the World Series.
The Lakers are there. They're already, you know, they're 80% there with the best record in the West. So I think most people would say, we get to watch LeBron and we got a chance to win it all. Bring it on.
32 years. Is that what it is, 32 years?
Mace, how much pain can one man endure? You went to Game 7 against Houston.
I know.
Went to Game 5 against Boston. How many times do you have to see the same damn movie before you stop watching? Here is Eric in Long Beach. Eric, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Actually, what's up, Eric?
I'm actually on. What's up, guys?
I'm what are you doing?
So, you know what? I'm going to say this. I'm a diehard B-ball fan, and I would say the Dodgers is probably my 1A. I'm a Laker fan at heart, but I would say this season, if I had to pick one, I would have to say the Dodgers.
Why?
Because it's been so long. I mean, I get LeBron, AD, I love it. I mean, I already know we're going to win it. I already know we're going to win it when we come back. But just the fact that I want to see Mookie and Belly, that 1-2 punch, and just the fact the Dodgers haven't won in for so long. You know what I mean?
It's a good point.
The fact that we got cheated, you know, from the freaking Astros.
Yeah.
And,
yep. You that's know, part of this.
I mean, like, I just feel like I can't go wrong with either war.
Plus, you know, it's Eric, right? Eric from Long Beach.
Yeah.
Eric, the other part of this is that the way baseball is potentially going to come back is this 3-10 team thing. We would be in the same division as the Astros, which is just insane.
Yeah, and you get to play them a lot. Thanks, Eric, for the phone call. You know, something else you pointed out, we kind of glossed over, and it deserves to be a bigger point. I'm incredibly sports-starved. I mean,
yep.
Mace, the other night I watched 2 hours of a Korean baseball game.
Yep.
I mean, if you would have told me I was going to do that 6 months ago, I would have bet my life against
it. My God, that game was on at 3 a.m. Is that what time you're up
at
night?
No. It started at 10:30, and I turned
it
off at 12:30. Yeah, this is 2 nights ago.
Okay.
So, so here was the point I was going to make that kind of lends itself to your case. You get the most content if you
Correct.
Pick the Dodgers.
Yep.
Like the Lakers have already played 60-plus games. But still, there's no way I'm turning my back on LeBron and AD. It's too fun to watch. They got too good of a chance to win a title, and this is a Laker town. Here's Leo from Rosemead. Hey, Leo, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Leo.
Good. Yeah, you know, it's a very close call. It's almost like 1A and 1B, but it's got to, yeah, it's got to be the Lakers, you know, because the thing is, I also think, take into account, like you said, probability, you know, and the Lakers have the highest chance of probability. You got five players, five on five, and, you know, when you got two of the best, you know, and there's so many variable factors with the Dodgers, you know, not, you know, at nine players and then an additional, you know, the bullpen and all that, you know, and then, but the heartstring, here's another thing, the heartstring that with Kobe, you know, his passing, his unfortunate passing, and just, yeah. Oh, wow, the culmination of that and the relationship that he had with Kobe, rather with LeBron, and, you know, LeBron wanting to come through for him, and that would just be just so much, it would just be a great ending, you know, to a horrible start to this year.
All right, yeah. Thanks, Leo, for the phone
call. Thanks, man.
You know, Mace, the other thing is...
I was going to say the other. Let me just jump this, because maybe you were going to make this point, but for the first time, a lot of people will be able to see the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, I was going the other way. I was going to say you only have LeBron for on a four-year deal at the end of his career. Are you sure you want to throw one of them away?
Right.
You know, that's
no, what I was saying, though, is that people haven't been able to watch the Dodgers for how long?
6 years.
6 years. Yeah. So for the first time in years, everybody will be able to see the games. By the way, if the Major League Baseball comes back first, and it seems like they will, isn't that going to be, I mean, are we all going to watch Dodger games every day? I think we kind of are.
What are you kidding? I watched a Korean game two nights ago. Of course I'm watching the Dodgers every day.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all are. I think whatever gets back first, we are going to be completely locked into, and it seems like that's baseball right now. By the way, the
game four of the 2004 American League Championship Series last night. That's how desperate I am.
The poll is now over 1,000 votes, and it's almost identical to what it was the last time we checked. 49% NBA, 23% NFL, 22% Major League Baseball, 6% college football. Many people angry that the NHL is not on this list. Also, that the MLS is not on this list.
If they were, they'd be where college football is. It is.
Yeah, there are only four choices allowed on a poll.
And the popularity of football, basketball, and baseball. And I love, you know, we rode the Kings to those two Stanley Cups, but most people have never played hockey. It's a really fun sport to watch, but people don't identify with it the way they do the Dodgers and the Lakers.
Somebody says, this is because this is America. Anywhere in the world, soccer would be first. Yes, but we are not anywhere in the world. We are in America.
We are here.
We are here.
Giovanni in Highland Park. Hey, Giovanni, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Oh, hey, guys. I'm on the show. That's pretty awesome. I just want to say, I'm picking the Lakers. I recently went to the... The last game before the season ended against the Clippers, and that team, the Lakers team this year, is just unbelievable. And when they come back, I feel like they're gonna have all the momentum. They should have the momentum. And yeah, go Lakers. And Mason, you're always right. So thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. I love that he added that at the end, because I think it's
right after he disagreed with you and picked my Lakers.
I think it is the one thing that people don't give me enough credit for. It's that I'm always right.
You realize that he basically said, I'm taking the Lakers, I agree with Ireland, and Mason, you're always right. He contradicted himself.
Yeah, I know, but he wanted to make sure he knew, everybody knew, that although he might have taken your side on that particular debate, that in a
He doesn't know the definition of always?
Yeah, doesn't know. Yeah, he stretched the definition of always a little bit. Yeah. By the way, I was talking to Lindsay about this, so I don't know what to do with this. Actually, we got Jess Mendoza coming up, so why don't we? I'll talk about what I don't know what to do with this later in the show. We don't have time right now. Jess Mendoza is going to join us. She's working as analyst for KBO games both tomorrow night and Saturday night, as ESPN brings you games from the Korean Baseball Organization. What's the state of baseball? When are we coming back? All that stuff with Jess Mendoza coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, what are you guys doing? It is Wednesday. Boy, they are all conspiring against me in our fantasy football league. That's unbelievable.
Yes, they take it very seriously. Yes, they do they not do. Agree with your anti-tanking ways or your pro-tanking ways.
No, I've tanked the last 2 years, and people are conspiring against me. All right, joining us right now, she will be working as color analyst on the next few KBO games. That's the Korean Baseball Organization. Jess Mendoza joins us. Jess, how are you?
I'm doing good. As good as we can be right now, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
under
it is.
The circumstances.
It is very strange times. Although I saw you, Jess, they had one of your college games on the other day, and Ramona was on with us, and she made sure to point out that she carried you the entire time through
like
college.
Literally? There's a play from the World Series where she literally tried to rob a home run with me, and I ended up landing on her, and she tried to literally carry me, like hold on to me and carry me back in off the fence.
Yeah, but well, I mean, that's how starved people are for sports. We're sitting through your and Ramona's old college games, like we don't know what's going to happen.
You probably didn't watch them live. So, I mean,
that's right. True, I did not know the outcome of some of those games.
But Jess, now we have live baseball, and you are going to be a part of it. I because I'm an idiot, stayed up until well past midnight the other night to watch all of the KBO game. And I do the Laker game, so I know that I got to spend a lot of time preparing. So here's my first question for you. How do you prepare for a KBO game?
It's been interesting. To be honest, it's fascinating because, you know, obviously studying major league games here, there's always a lot of prep. But the prep's similar in that you're just kind of studying what's happening today, maybe the last few weeks. The KBO, at least in my case, you know, I don't know the history. I didn't know when it started. How was baseball introduced in Korea? I mean, it is limitless, the amount of research, information, players, the Olympic Games. They want to, I remember them winning gold when I was in Beijing. I wanted to know about that. But just the entire, honestly, newness of the sport there. I mean, their league didn't start until the 80s. So you think about how far they've come. It's the number one sport now in South Korea. And what I'm bummed about that we can't showcase is the fan base and how amazing the fan base is there. And just, I mean, absolute dedication. The coolest thing, I'm going to just tell one story, is Eric Thames was on the other night. I don't know if you saw, I did an awesome interview in that delay.
Very cool interview.
I was talking to him, and one of the things they do for almost every player that comes up to the plate, they choreograph and oftentimes create their own song for the player. So instead of it being a song we all know or whatever, they come up with an entire like dance move that you have 20,000 fans doing for that player. And Eric's was a song they made up. And of course, I don't understand the language, but it's like, you know, a bunch of stuff. And then Eric, and they're like doing little small pistols and like hip thrusts and like 20,000 people. And I mean, that, as much as, you know, I love baseball here in the U.S., fan engagement just isn't the same. And so it's something we can't showcase now over there in South Korea, but it's definitely something very cool and unique to the league.
So Jess, I've looked at the highlights, and I can't tell the answer to this. What is the quality of the baseball there? How good a league is it?
You know, it's actually similar as far as the offense and defense to I'd say AAA and some major league teams here, definitely. The pitching is what's probably had to come the farthest. And, I mean, even the velocity difference that has changed the last 5 years, it's gone up 2 to 3 miles an hour, which is a huge, I mean, in baseball hardly at all. Or in Major League Baseball here. So that's where you'll see kind of more of like placement of pitches, a real, you know, like they have to be able to hit their spots there because they don't have the velocity. They don't have a lot of the same spin. But the offense, I mean, you see some of these guys, and it's different from Japan. And not that everyone's familiar with Japanese baseball, but they're more contact-oriented, put the ball in play. You'll see a lot of these South Korean players really swing for the fences. And that's something kind of new, I would feel, especially for a lot of the Asian countries. But it's high-quality baseball, especially now that I've dove in. I mean, it's fun to watch.
We're talking to Jessica Mendoza. She'll be one of the announcers doing the baseball games on ESPN. Logistically, Jess, how does it work? You're going to be in your house, right? And then do you know who you're doing the games with yet?
Yeah, Boog Shambi.
All right, so Boog will be in his house. Is anyone else in your ear? Is there a producer in your ear? Is there somebody, or are you just basically watching the game like we're watching it?
No, so we're going to have, they're actually coming here in like a half hour to like, I already had like a studio for SportsCenter Hits and some of the shows that we've been doing, but now they're coming in to completely redo the studio with a bunch of different screens, because basically it's going to be Boob Shambi in New York City in his apartment. I'm here in Bend, Oregon, Central Oregon, like literally in the woods. Mm. Our producer will be in Connecticut, and we're all going to be communicating to each other, similar to how, ideally, how you would be in a game that we are there live for, like in person. So that to me is like, I can't wait for them to set up. They shipped all these screens, and like they need a hard wire. Like, I mean, they're bringing wires for days. I mean, this is going to be interesting, guys.
So let's talk about our baseball for a minute. There was a report out there from Trevor Plouffe, who was recently a player and announced, I guess, is working as an announcer somewhere. He said he's hearing baseball spring training June the 10th and opening day July the 1st. That was quickly shot down by guys like Jeff Passan and Bob Nightingale. What are you hearing about potential return for Major League Baseball?
Well, I think, you know, besides our eyes, there's a lot of eyes on South Korea and how this is going to go. I think the biggest fear is you don't want to have a second wave because, or anyone come up with positive with COVID-19 because of this, right? So I think, obviously, in South Korea, things might be done differently, perhaps, from what Major League Baseball wants to do, but it is so similar that they, I think, want to give this a few weeks. Everything I'm hearing is a lot of June as far as really getting back to be with your team. I just had a conversation with Mike Schultz of the St. Louis Cardinals this last week. And I mean, they honestly are as in the dark as we are, but from the kind of hopes of at least getting your team being able to practice together and starting to quarantine together, get tested, all of that, June is really the month that's getting thrown around.
Jess, when I watched that game the other night, I thought, this works. It's weird. There are no fans in the stands. But baseball is pretty, for lack of a better term, naturally socially distanced. It, you know, the players are pretty far apart. There will obviously, when you're at home plate with the catcher and the umpire, you'll be there. But you played your whole life. You played in the Olympics. You played at Stanford. Would you be nervous to play in a baseball game right now, or do you think the players will embrace it?
You know, you're right. I feel like the game itself isn't where I would be nervous. It just be more in everything else outside of the field. Because when I'm outside, I don't know about you guys, when I go outside, like, I just feel so much better. Even when I'm around other people, as long as you're keeping that separation, you feel a lot better about where you're at. I think when you're inside the clubhouse, you get, you know, maybe a visitor comes in, all of a sudden you're at the hotel, and, you know, someone needs to come into your room, you know, family members, all of those, like, where are the players going to be when they're not playing? I know they're supposed to just be in the hotel, but let's be real. You've got 30 teams with how many players and staff, and you're telling me they're going to stay in their hotel every minute they're not on the field? Like, I mean, so I think that's where maybe the, okay, where's everybody been? But I'm telling you, if I was playing, when I'm actually out there on the field, that's probably the safest place I could be, or at least feel like I could be.
Yeah. As you look at this, are you feeling like baseball has got a chance to be the sport that goes first, the sport that sort of breaks us out of this and sort of leads us out of this thing?
Yes, absolutely. And, I mean, I think that's felt, you know, whether – I think baseball and soccer were, like, the two leading sports for everything you had mentioned before, being outside, the natural – distancing. Baseball has it even more so than soccer. And, you know, my belief since this thing started, and you're talking, you know, every sport, you know, from NBA first getting postponed, you know, even the conversations in and around football, I feel like baseball is the sport to be tested, to be out there. You know, can this work? Because there's that natural distancing that happens within the game. It's just the piece of what happens when they're not on the field. And I think baseball is the perfect one to get it going.
All right, Jess, last thing for me, because as you mentioned, you've got a studio crew coming over to demolish your house. The one thing that when somebody flips a bat, in Major League Baseball, it becomes a big topic of debate. Like, are they going to throw it at one of his teammates? Are they disrespecting the game? Is it, it becomes this big debate between old school and new school. It seems to me that everybody in Korea flips the bat and everybody embraces it. Am I right?
Oh, I mean, honestly, for those listening, if you could just go to YouTube and just look up, you know, KBO bat flips. I mean, there have been so many great pieces and highlights. The best, though, in researching this, guys, is not only the just absolute, I'm going to flip my bat when I crush a ball, but watch the bat flips when it's like pop up to center field. Like, I didn't even jack this ball, but maybe I thought I did. Like, I'm not exactly sure in the mindset there. There's bat flips when it's like a base hit to right field and they're rounding, you know, first base and they just flip their bat, you know, 7 feet into the air.
And no repercussions, right? There's no, you don't get thrown at or anything, right?
Oh, in fact, it's seen as something to really ignite the fans, to get them going. So there's not this feeling of like, what the heck are, you know, there's none of that at all. In fact, it's only when American players come over there that I've talked to a few Korean players and they've said it's actually the Americans and the American media like us that ask the questions and, you know, how could you do this and how are you okay with this? And those kind of questions that have aroused, like, is there something wrong with this?
Wow.
Yeah, and by the way, the mascots, and I know that they're not necessarily, they don't fans, so their mascots aren't out there playing ball. But if you look at, if you Google MC Dino's mascot, they have got two dinosaurs that actually breakdance on top of the dugouts. They are spectacular to look at. So they're clearly turning baseball into an event over there. And look, we look forward to watching you tomorrow night. What time does your game come on?
So mine, we're both on the same time zone. So mine's Friday night. It'll be 10 p.m. Pacific time. The first game's at 1:30 a.m. Friday night. So I guess Saturday morning, however you want to look at that. And then I've got the Saturday night game. In fact, it'll be those dinos with their mascots. Because I think actually the mascots and cheerleaders are allowed to be in the stands.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the dinos have a natural mask anyway, right? So,
yep.
I mean, that makes sense. But yeah, that game will be on 10 p.m. Saturday night, which, like you, the opening day game was actually a little more plausible to watch because it was on at 10 o'clock and I watched like the first couple hours instead of some of the others that are on in the middle of the night, which is a little rough.
Yes, it is rough. Well, listen, Jess, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks a lot. I hope we get to we'll watch you in the KBO, and then we're hoping to get back to MLB pretty soon.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk more after.
You bet.
All right, Jess, have fun.
All right.
There's Jess Mendoza. Yeah, Mace, that's the one reason to watch is they bat flip like it's nothing.
Yeah. By the way, have you seen the video of those dinosaurs?
Yeah, ridiculous.
They do stuff that our mascots don't even think about doing. They are completely breakdancing. Their one mascot's called Swole Daddy, who is the muscular dinosaur.
And that is an apt description of
And then they've got Fat Dinosaur, who does the breakdancing. So they've got all that stuff. Sounds like they've turned baseball into a really cool experience. All right. More Mason in Ireland coming up next for you. By the way, Rich Kleiman, who is KD's agent, is going to join us on the show next hour. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? It is Wednesday, and we are being enthusiastic and optimistic, positive. We are here for you. And thank you very much for being out there for us. Let me see. So Jono, today, really important day because it's National Nurses Day. We want to salute all of the nurses who are out there working hard, especially under the circumstances. Thank you to everything that you do, both during this this crisis and the rest of the time as well.
Okay.
This morning on the Get Up, they were talking about college football. And among other things, they were talking about the fact that some schools are going to get back to work and back to practice before other schools. Jack Swarbrick, who's the AD at Notre Dame, talked about that.
I'm not concerned about a competitive advantage or disadvantage. I've accepted long ago in this pandemic that that's a natural consequence. There'll be great disparities, I think, that are inevitable in this. The NCAA will do what it can, I think, to regulate them. But you're still going to have circumstances where schools aren't open and others are, or states haven't reopened and some have. I think the bigger challenge for us is the consequence that will have on competing in the fall. It's one thing to say that one team gets a competitive advantage. It's another to say, what are the circumstances under which you could play? And I would be surprised if there's any conference that hasn't looked at a conference-only alternative. We are very comfortable that if it goes that way, that we'll be fine. We will be able to play a high-quality, full schedule, the same number of games as other teams will play.
So here's Heather Dinich, who was on Get Up this morning, on the fact that some schools potentially will be ready to go and some won't be.
The conference commissioners I speak to on a regular basis these days, they're the ones with the power to try and control the opening. But even they recognize that while they want to do this in a unified fashion, it might not happen. I asked SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey recently if he would be willing to have his conference play if other conferences can't. He said he might not be able to make that decision anytime soon, but he knows he's going to have to. The other thing is, I talked to TCU Athletic Director Jeremiah Donati yesterday, and he said that while it's an ambitious goal to reopen simultaneously, he said it's probably not realistic because it's not just state by state difference. It's also within conferences. I mean, could you guys imagine if Ohio State could practice and Michigan couldn't, or Alabama could practice and LSU couldn't? I mean, that would go over pretty well in the SEC, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we've got to be ready for, is that some conferences are probably going to be able to start on time. Other conferences might not be able to start on time. Some conferences may play full schedules. Some conferences may play partial schedules, depending on what region of the country. The SEC, by the way, seems full steam ahead. Everybody that talks out of the SEC is like, we're going. It's going to be go time.
Right. And what Jack Swarbrick said, the Notre Dame athletic guy in the beginning, said, I'm not interested in competitive advantages or disadvantages, makes total sense. There's going to be some states that open. This is going on in the NBA, too.
Yeah.
There's going to be some teams that are able to get in their facilities now. Other teams, maybe even the California teams, are going to have to wait. It is what it is. What we want to do is get back to playing sports, and in particular in college football, those are revenue drivers for the whole athletic department. So if the SEC is ready to go and the Pac-12 isn't, and the Pac-12 has lousy leadership and they normally, you know, Larry Scott normally makes the wrong decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're probably going to be slow out of the gate, mainly because of the governor has to clear us medically, but also Larry Scott tends to screw up. So they... the SEC's not going to wait for everybody else to get their house in order. They're just going to go.
Where does Larry Scott's support come from? Where does it come from?
Well, he works for the team presidents, the school presidents.
I know, but these university presidents, aren't they looking at him saying, hey, this SEC, this Pac-12 network is terrible. You got your fancy offices in San Francisco where we don't even have a school. I mean, aren't people looking at it saying, come on, Larry Scott?
Or how about this? We've never been in the playoff. Everybody says that the number one job of a school president is not to get fired, so they hate change.
Yeah.
So they like the devil they know.
All right, we got interesting stuff coming up from a Minnesota regent who said something really pretty stunning on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday. We got that coming up for you. Plus, at the bottom of the hour, Rich Kleiman is going to join us. He is the agent for Kevin Durant and also the manager for Kevin Durant, and he produces the Boardroom Show, which is on ESPN+. All that's coming up for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.